May the serenity, to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. My name is Marty, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Marty.
From Baltimore. Welcome to the first annual Chesapeake Potomac Workshop on the 12 Traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. If there's anyone here from the press, radio, or film, we ask you do not take any pictures, and you do not write down anybody's last names. May I remind you that anything that I say or anyone here says is of their own opinion, and strictly their own opinion, and not Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Therefore, what you cannot reconcile with what is in our basic text, please pay no adherence to it. I would like at this time to ask for a volunteer, because I don't like picking people to do stuff. I believe this is a we program, and I'm not in charge of picking people to do things. So I'd like a volunteer to come up and read who is an addict.
Barry, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Barry.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be here clean and in a convention. Chapter 1 from our basic text. Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know our whole life and thinking is centered in drugs in one form or another. The getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We used to live and live to use. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death.
Thank you. I need a volunteer to come up and read what is the NA program.
This is John. I'm an addict.
Hi, John.
What is NA? What is the NA program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or a society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other to stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership: the honest desire to stop using. There are no musts in NA, but we suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organization. We have no leaders, no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, law enforcement groups, and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us, regardless of age, race, color, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting, because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Unity.
Thank you. I need a volunteer to come up and read how it works.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gary, and I am an addict.
Hi, Gary.
If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. These are suggested only, but they are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, those steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There's one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Although there are no musts in NA, there are three things that seem indispensable. These are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to try. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the problem of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society, in everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from getting or continuing a habit is not to take that first fix, pill, or drink. If you are like us, you know that one is too many and 1,000 never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again or create a new one. The substitution of alcohol has caused a great many addicts to form a new addiction pattern, which in its progression brings as many problems as before. We seem to forget that alcohol is one of the oldest known drugs. It would appear that we are people with addictive personalities who are strongly susceptible to alcoholic addiction.
Thank you. I need someone to come up and read the 12 traditions.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gary, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Gary.
Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. An NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. NA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Gary. And as it says in the beginning of the 12 traditions in our basic text, we keep what we have only with vigilance. And just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the groups springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. What we do here tonight is going to be input into how it works and why it's going to the world. And we're basically here about our common welfare, and that's Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. It was suggested that we take and we read each tradition, but when people read to me, I get bored as shit, and I don't listen. I start thinking about farting and crap like that. So I'm not gonna read. You know, we read enough, and I feel that if anyone wants to know what the 12 traditions are, they'll get a basic text, and if they really give a damn, they'll read it. You know, I had to read mine. And it's an individual job if you really want to know what it's about. Tonight we're going to share our feelings on those traditions as you know them, or as we see them for ourselves. And what I'd like to do, instead of going through 1, 2, and 3, What I'd like to do is talk about one and have the panel talk about tradition one and then have comments from the body of people we have out here. And then when we're finished with one, we'll go to two. When we're finished with two, we'll go to three. I think that's how things go. One, two, three, two, three. Okay. It's amazing that if you look around, when it comes down to getting down and doing some work, a few people show up, but when you want to find out what unity is about, show up for the dance and there'll be 200 more people here. I don't know why that works like that, but it does, and I didn't make the rules. Our first tradition says that our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. I've heard that the steps are suggested, and I've heard some people say that the traditions are suggested. For me, the traditions are not suggested. For me, the 12 traditions are non-negotiable. They are what they are, and they stand for what they stand for. They stand the way they're written because that seems to be what's worked the best for programs such as ours, and from the program that we borrowed our 12 traditions from and added in what we needed and deleted what we didn't need. A lot of people look at the first tradition and you ask them about it and they say, well, what that means is my common welfare comes first. And to me, that doesn't mean that. To me, that means our common welfare comes first. And that's Narcotics Anonymous. Because for me, if I don't have Narcotics Anonymous, I don't have any welfare. And I become one thing. I become real common again. I start hitting the streets and I start sticking things in my arms, my nose, my ears, my ass, anywhere I can get something to get me messed up. And then I start doing unto others and splitting and in a hurry. And our tradition keeps me from doing those things. It says that my personal recovery depends on NA unity. And for me, what that's talking about is basically the old saying, united we stand, divided we fall. You know, I believe that we have to stand for something today. I believe that we have to stand for the spiritual concept of the 12 traditions. They were written in a simple form to keep us in our place, to keep our egos from getting where they're not supposed to be. And we'll get into those traditions later. I've seen some areas. I was at an area service meeting last night. And talking about our common welfare should come first, personal recovery depends on NA unity. The Baltimore area itself has grown so big and so vast that you'd think the bigger we are, the more united we are, because there's so many of us now. And what's happened is we've become so big that we're not taking care of what we need to take care of. And most of the people in our area seen that that was true, and we decided that we were going to start growing. And we were going to start some new areas within the Baltimore area. And there was a lot of flack about that. People were saying that it was egos doing it and resentments doing it. And maybe some of those things are. That's how new groups start. I don't like the way the sumbitch is running the meeting. I'm going to start my own meeting over on 4th Street, God damn it. And they go over there and they start a meeting. And then next thing you know, the person who was secretary in the meeting over here is over on 4th Street supporting that meeting. Because he got invited to chair over at that meeting. And then the guy that started 4th Street meeting gets invited to come back and chair at the meeting that he left that he didn't want to deal with because he didn't get to run things. So to me, that's unity. Because we keep growing together. And although sometimes we think because of personalities that we're growing apart, really if it wasn't for the difference in us, you know, we're so different. I think we're so unique in our own selves and so different, we're just the same. We all want the same things. We all want what's best. You know, I want what's best for me, and I want what's best for Narcotics Anonymous, and we all have a crazy way of going about those things. And if it wasn't for all those crazy ways, then we'd never come to any type of group conscience because all one person would have to do is agree. And then that wouldn't be a God consciousness. That would be a one person conscious, and that wouldn't be any unity. So with those things, that's what makes it work. Our personal experiences make it work. Whether you got one day clean or you got 40 years clean, it doesn't really matter. Because in here you have a voice. And here I have a voice because this is my program. And if I don't share what's in my gut, then I'm not taking the opportunity from my own personal program to grow and Narcotics Anonymous to grow as a whole. I'd like to remind you that I didn't study before I got here. I don't believe in studying, except studying on a daily basis. But what I'm saying is I didn't prepare to come up here and give a long, windy speech about the traditions. I decided that was between my higher power and my gut, and whatever it's supposed to be, that's probably what it really is, instead of something I could figure out between my lopsided brain. I'm here because I'm not all here. And if I think that I know anything, it's exactly when I don't. You know, I'm still learning daily, every day. Some days I like to think that I know a little more than somebody else, and some days I do, and that's only because they haven't experienced something yet. I'd like to now go to the rest of the panel and let them share for a few minutes their own feelings on this tradition, and then we'll call from the student body.
My name's Greg. I'm an addict.
Hi, Greg.
And I didn't even expect to be sitting up here, so I for sure didn't prepare anything, but I studied for 14 years. And one of the things that we talked about was a little bit about the traditions in general. I have trouble talking about any one tradition. I think for me, the traditions have become so intertwined and so interrelated that it's hard for me to talk about unity without talking about a bunch of other things. Because they all fit. They're part of a package. I used to look at the traditions as rules. My personal opinion now is that they're more like warnings, statements of fact. If you do these things, your groups will suffer. People will die. I've seen every tradition we've got broken. Perhaps the first tradition is the one that gets ignored the most. First warning. To me, I was exposed to the traditions through the first tradition. Somebody came up to me, and this was in a little white booklet. See this over here? Personal recovery depends on any unity? That means your ass depends on us sticking together. And you see it, and it's exciting. How many times have we seen people in the fellowship who really don't get along on a day-to-day basis? They aren't running partners. In fact, they probably have, 4 pounds of resentment against each other. And they don't get along. But the phone rings, and somebody says, help. And they get in a car together and go talk to that newcomer. Setting aside our personal differences. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on any unity. That ties in also to primary purpose. The ability to set aside our differences and draw together. Because we have differences. I mean, we're however many addicts we are. What's the latest estimate? 150,000, something like that? And we've all got opinions, and we've all got directions, and we've all got this, and we've all got that, but we can pull together for a common cause. And that's part of what makes us so strong. I like to think of the first tradition as another example of our we program. You know, we come here isolated, self-obsessed, different. And for me, part of the first tradition is setting aside those differences. And that ties right into the 12th tradition. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. We have a lot of things that give us unity, a lot of points of unity. We're here for the same reason. I don't know why you got here, but I know why some of you got here. We all got here because we were dying. We all got here because we were powerless over our addiction. Our lives had become unmanageable. We all got here because of our addiction. We got a common approach to life. We got a common solution, the steps. We have a common purpose, reaching out, staying clean. We have a common set of rules, warnings, traditions. We're all doing things the same way. And for me personally, I also believe that we have something even more important than that in common. I think this is a spiritual fellowship. You know, it's that old God takes care of fools and dope fiends. And I believe there's a God of our fellowship. If nothing else, spiritual principles. You know, life based on spiritual principles. And it works. And that ties us together. There are a lot of points of unity. We could probably list points of unity for an hour. There are a lot of things that bind us together. The isolation, the loneliness, the fear, the I'm different, this time it's going to be different, the obsession, the addictive personality, you know, on and on and on and on. And it's these things we have in common that are points of unity. And if we let go of, you know, our egos, as someone said, you know, I think this is one of the biggest ego traditions. They're all ego traditions. That's another thing all the traditions sort of have in common, it seems like. If we let go of that, and we start thinking in terms of us for maybe the first time in our lives, then we have a chance. And without that, you know, it's like an addict alone is in bad company. It's like no one can survive in isolation on this program. Reaching out is part of how we live. Coming together is part of how we live. Unity, you know, is implicit in this way of life. And we see a lot of disunity happening here and there in groups and stuff like that. But what about when the chips are down? If we can pull together, we can make it. If we can't, we die. Thank you.
My name is Kermit, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Kermit.
Clean today through the grace of God and Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know I was going to be up here either, so don't feel bad, Greg. I think it's real neat, you know. There isn't enough people for me, you know. There isn't, It's not the way I like it or I want it, you know. It's not the way I thought it was going to be, but it's definitely okay, and it's real nice. I have a real good feeling inside because of seeing all the people here and hearing the messages given by the two other people up here, and hopefully we'll get some real good participation. First tradition, as other people stated, was our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. I relate that a lot to my third step and surrendering. When I do my third step is when I stop in the middle of the day or in the middle of something that's not going right. Something that's not going my way, and I stop to think, what is God's way for me in this situation? That's how I take my third step on a daily basis. I stop and I look at what's going on and why am I upset, and if it's not supposed to go my way, what's another way it could go? And I try to figure out what God's way is for that situation. And when I look at our common welfare, I have to stop when I'm getting upset at something that's going on in meetings or something that's going on in area service or something that's going on in the regional level of the world and say, you know, my way is getting me upset and it's not working my way. What's our way? What's the group's way? What's this area's way of doing things? You know, what would work best for us rather than what works best for me? You know, our as other people say, our common welfare is staying clean. I know for me that if I get too hooked into it's not going the way I want it, and they're not running this meeting right, and they're not reading from the right part in the book, and this guy's doing the wrong thing, you know, and I tend to focus on those things, and I share that discontent, then the meetings start to fall apart, you know. If meetings fall apart, then I have nowhere to go to stay clean, you know, and nobody else has any place to go to stay clean. So the first tradition, you know, it reminds me of the third step, and it reminds me that I'm only one small part in the whole piece of Narcotics Anonymous, of my group, of my area, and of this world when I look at it in terms of God. You know, it puts me in my right place because I used to think that I was the center of the universe and everything revolved around me. You know, I've heard a lot of talk about, you know, well, the traditions are something you do when you finish the steps. You know, if it was, there wouldn't be any place to finish the steps in. Traditions are something those service workers need to know about. That's a good cop-out, you know. I won't have to worry about them because I'm not a GSR or an ASR or a, you know, LSD. You know? And maybe, you know, if you study the traditions, you might want to be a GSR.
Or you might not.
Or you might not. But I think it's real neat that we're getting a whole bunch of people coming on in, and we've had some real good people speaking up here, and we'd love to hear from y'all. Thank you.
Thank you all for sharing. What I'd like to do now is turn it over, and if you'd like to share anything on the first tradition, raise your hand. Come on up.
All right.
My name's Larry. I'm an addict.
Hi, Larry.
I guess that this tradition, the first one, you know, says to me something my friend over there was writing down. Just what I was thinking of is that I can't, but we can, you know. I guess, you know, if I isolate in the fellowship, you know, if I don't go to meetings, I can't recover. Maybe I can stay clean, but I can't recover. I can't change. And, you know, the group is, you know, is the most important thing to me, I guess. You know, I've seen people not go to meetings, you know, after they get a year or something. And it used to worry me when I first came in the program. Now I have to be as grateful as I can and have a positive attitude for the people that are still around, you know. I need the people in the meetings to stay clean and also to recover. I don't really have much to say on this, but you know, without that unity, I might stay clean, but I don't think I could even do that on my own, you know. I know I need the group to change, though. You know, I know I need the unity and the people in the group to change. That's all I have to add.
Thank you, Larry. When you come up, make sure you're talking to the microphone, please. Appreciate it. Anybody else?
Natick, my name is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, there's been a lot of disunity in my area as of recent, and it's because we're not working for a common goal, and it's because people will come in talking to talk, and they refuse to walk the walk with us. And I want those people to walk the walk with my group and bring us through our differences. And I don't think that only unity on a group level is enough to hold an area together. It is, but we need the unity on the region, the Chesapeake, Potomac region. We need to know that they care. We need to know that they support our area. Because we love Narcotics Anonymous. We're working very hard in our area to hold it together. And as long as the ties that bind us are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. Today, all is not well. But we are well and we're recovering. We want those people to come back. They've caused a wave. Now come back when it washes ashore and pick up the shells and bring them back together. And bring us all back together as a group, as an area, as a region, so that we might live, and so that addicts don't die. I'm hearing in my meetings, newcomers coming in, and reaching out for help, and it seems that there's bigger problems. It seems that the traditions are being violated in meetings. And that's more important than the addict that still suffers. Well, not to me, that's not more important. Resentments are not more important than people that are reaching out for help. But it's happening. And I see addicts going out and using because of it. And it hurts me. And I hope that our unity can come back together and that we can all pull together now. And that we can find out where we're going and find out a solution to this problem. And I just have a lot of hopes for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm very young in the program. I only have 90 days clean time. I'm area service chairman. Yet because of the disunity in our area, I'm area service chairman. Yet, I'm left with a position of responsibility, and I know that I'm directly responsible to those that I serve. Not like those that tore that group apart and tore that area apart to help me get a better understanding of where they're going and sit down and talk to the addict that still suffers, because I'm suffering today over this disunity. Thank you.
Thank you. I one time told my stood up in front of a bunch of people and said, I don't have but 38 days clean. And my sponsor jerked me aside and he said, let me tell you something, God damn it. I don't ever want to hear you say only again. You got 38 fucking days clean. You know, you got 90 fucking days. You know? And that ain't supposed to happen, okay? Not to people like us. We're supposed to die in the street or in jail and in an institution somewhere. I know I go to some meetings and people give out chips or keychains and they say, in the red one, that stands for danger. Well, if it's so goddamn dangerous, don't give it out. I'll tell you what, I was a happy son of a bitch when I picked up mine.
Right.
It took me 2 years to get that mother. But I got it. Anybody else? Lady with the blonde hair was about 4 seconds before you.
I'm an addict. My name's Carol.
Hi, Carol.
And I'm really grateful to be here. I was looking at the program. We went out to get something to eat when we first got here, and I was looking at the program, and I said, oh, no, I missed traditions 1, 2, and 3, and those are real important to me. I didn't get in here to hear a lot of what was shared, but for me, one of the most important things about the traditions, now that I know that they're not something that you work after you're done with the steps, that one of the most important things is personal application of the traditions. You know, I looked at them for a long time as rules. And, you know, we all know how addicts look at rules. You know, how can I get around these? Okay, this is what it says, but can't I take this to mean this? And for me, when I look at our common welfare and our need for unity, I have to look at what I can personally do to help unify us. What I can personally do is stand up and talk about the positives in the program. You know, we focus on the negatives. You know, it's like saying I've only got 90 days clean. Man, I've only got 6 years, but you've got 90 days. You know, and I lose my perspective real easily. And what's good for me is when we band together so that I can maintain my perspective, so that I can see things the way they really are. One of the ways for me that's most important that I can do something personally for all of us, for our common welfare, is to not participate in gossip. And sometimes it's real hard for me to do because there's a thin line between sharing concern for another member and participating in gossip. And one of the best ways for me to know when I'm doing which is to talk to my sponsor. I'm grateful today for the we of our traditions. I'm grateful for the ego deflation that comes through looking at the words in those traditions and not trying to add anything to them, not trying to find a loophole. You know, and I've done that for so long, and it's so much easier for me today when I don't do that. I have someone in my life today that helps me keep things simple. And when I'm around that person, it's real special to me because, you know, I need help to maintain a positive outlook, a positive perspective on, you know, what this stuff is all about. And for me, without the first tradition, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like because, you know, we'd all, like, be coming up with wonderful ideas and going off to just do them. And when I've done that in the past, it's been real disastrous. But when I sit down with other people and not just look at what I want and what I need, but I look at what's best for me and for you, it helps me see things the way they are. I'm getting into some self-centeredness up here and starting to think about what I'm saying, so I'm going to sit down, but I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm really grateful to have a gathering of Narcotics Anonymous members where we focus on those things that protect us from ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. When I first came in the program, I thought that unity meant if I could gather enough people around me to believe in my ideas, then that was unified, and that's what it was. I'm going to call on one more person on this tradition, and then we're going to go to tradition 2, okay?
I'm Gary. I'm still an addict.
Hi, Gary.
There's a lot I could say about this first tradition. I'm a self-employed. I employ several people. And I found it very true that two people can do as much work as together as three people can individually. And that's kind of what the first tradition is to me. It's working together to achieve what we all need, and that's learning how to live. That's learning how to be free, not only from drugs. You know, we're not concerned with just using drugs. I don't really have much of a drug problem. I have an addiction that works on my mind, but we're working together, and the more of us that can work together, the stronger we'll become. You know, there's a lot of things going on right now within this region that is hard for a lot of us to really accept or take a look at. Change hurts. Change always hurt me. But there's a tradition that we're going to be talking about pretty soon. There's but one ultimate authority, and that's a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. And for me, acceptance is really a big part of this, this first tradition. Because when I can accept the group's decisions and the group's way of doing things, and when I can accept that, even if I don't like it, you know, but I can accept it and I can grow from it, and I can take a positive stand and I can say, okay, hey, this is what it is, and we're going to do something, you know, and go on forward. You know, when I start looking at the negatives and I start concentrating on the can'ts and the won'ts, then I get in trouble and I get negative. And for me, Narcotics Anonymous is a positive program. And I have to look at the positives, and I've got to stay positive. And I'm grateful for people who have the guts to stand up and say, hey, we need a change. You know, even if I don't like it. You know, my opinion, this tradition right here covers it. My personal opinion doesn't really matter if it's against the opinion of Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. You know, if it's against the opinion of my group, it's not really my opinion that matters. It's our opinion. And I think that's really what the first tradition is talking about. You know, what is important to us. And I use I a lot. I think all of us use I a lot. And I think it'd be real good if we could start using we. You know, and if we could build a stronger NA, if we could build a stronger group, you know, if we could build a stronger area services, if we could build a stronger region, you know, regardless of where it is or where we're at, you know, if we could be involved in what we are doing, then I think we will be a lot better. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Thinking about the Chesapeake Potomac region, people say, I don't like the words dividing, I don't like the words splitting, and I like the words growth. And that's probably what it's going to take to get some more unity, is for those areas to grow. And I believe that everything happens on God's timetable at exactly the right time. When I first heard about it, I want you to know I was real pissed. And really, when it came down to it, the real reason I was pissed is nobody asked me in the beginning what I thought. Okay? And the second was, is I wasn't going to get to travel and see the people that I like to argue with, you know, every 2 months. You know? I'm going to miss a lot of those faces back and forth across the table. You're wrong! No, I'm not. And I missed that. You know, and the nice thing about this program and the unity in it is we can disagree without being disagreeable. I know that a guy that I sponsor, who happens to be the regional service rep, we get along great till we get to the regional meeting, and we don't agree on shit. We have never agreed on anything, but we still love each other when we leave the rooms. But you know, that's our personal opinion that we have a right to voice. I'd like to read one thing out of our basic text, and it's at the last paragraph. On tradition one, it says we must live and work together as a group to ensure that in a storm our ship does not sink and members perish. With faith in a power greater than ourselves, hard work, and unity, we will survive and continue to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Amen. I'd like at this time to go on to Tradition 2. Tradition 2 says, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Ourself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Boy, we're going to have fun with this one, huh? Sometimes I wonder, is there really a loving God? I know there are some arrogant shits. I happen to be one of them. And when I get pissed in a meeting, you know, sometimes I don't like the way things go in meetings. Believe it or not, it's true. And sometimes people will use words they're not. Sometimes I hear people say things like soba in an NA meeting. Now, I know we can't tell people what to say, but I don't know a damn thing about being sober. And when I hear people say it, I know about being clean. Clean in the mind, the body, and the spirit is a direct result of the 12 steps, Narcotics Anonymous, a loving God as I understand Him, and you people, and the 12 traditions. That's what I know something about. And I start playing the role of God sometimes. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll say something and know damn well I'm wrong. 2 months ago at the area service meeting, I'm the area service rep for Baltimore. And 2 months ago, it was time for an election. And that election was to nominate individuals to come to the region for the alternate regional service rep. And before everybody talked, there was a couple of people who had been nominated. And the only reason they were nominated, because a few people who have been around for a while and like to have, as I call, clones running around behind them, they show up at the meetings when there's time for nominations, but not time to get the work done. And they showed up so they could make their nominations for who they wanted, so after the meetings they could tell them what they wanted to do at the next meeting and blah, blah, blah. And when those people went out of the room, I stood up and I said I would like to say some things. And I said, both of these individuals have commitments. I don't think it's fair to them. I don't think it's fair to us. And I don't think it's fair to Narcotics Anonymous as a whole that either one of these two people hold a position. And I sat down. And I said a few more things. And I sat down. And right before they brought the people in the room, they closed discussion, and I rose my hand, and the chairman said, discussion is closed. I said, point of order. He said, what? I said, I, as your area service rep, am not allowed to express my opinion at an area service meeting. It's a violation. I said, so I would like to apologize for that at this time. Nobody caught me, so I'm apologizing. If anyone would like my resignation, I'll be glad to donate it right now. I said, but this program told me to stand for something and not fall for anything. And they didn't ask for my resignation, and I knew I was wrong when I did it, and I knew it was my self-will, but damn it, I believed in it. And I was willing to let go of that position to say what I felt in my gut that was real to me. And as a result, neither one of those people got elected. Somebody else did. Must have been God consciousness. I hope. How does God express Himself in our group conscience? Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And that's real tricky. Because we give the people the power to carry a group conscience. And a lot of times what happens to that group conscience, by the time it gets to the area or the region of the world, it gets distorted all to shit because egos come in. I mean, it happens in a group area, in a group level. It happens at an area level. It happens in a regional level. It happens in the world level. You know, believe it or not, I too have violated a hell of a lot of these traditions. And sometimes I knew it when I did it. And then I had to go back and eat it later. And the sooner or later I found out that I have to abide by the same things everyone else does, no matter what I think at any given moment. You know, nobody put me in charge. They may have asked me to serve, but nobody put me in charge. And I think a lot of times we forget that. There is a difference in being in charge and in serving. I'm the parliamentarian for the East Coast Convention, 6 East Coast in Baltimore. And I really try to lay personalities aside. I really try to look at what is versus what I want. And it's something that I have to work real hard on. You know, looking at my opinion versus what is the group conscience versus what is God's will sometimes gets real out of focus. But I've always managed, after a meeting, when a group conscience was taken, even though I didn't like it and I raised hell, as soon as the meeting was over, I accepted that that's God's will. And I left it at that. At the last regional, they were talking about getting basic texts for this workshop to be given in the package, and I personally was totally against it, and I raised all kinds of hell. If they would have went for it, I would have been okay with it, but I personally was not okay with it. For some reason, they didn't go with it, okay? But that doesn't mean they didn't go with it because Marty didn't want them to. They didn't go with it because that's the way it was supposed to be. If they would have went with it, then that would have been the way it was supposed to be. And I have to let dead dogs lie. And if it don't stink, I don't need to stir it today. I'd like to read just a little bit more because I think this is a real important tradition, the first tradition notwithstanding. In Narcotics Anonymous, we rely on a loving God as He expresses Himself in our group conscience rather than on personal opinion or ego. In working the steps, we learn to depend on a power greater than ourselves and utilize it for our group purposes. We must be consistently on guard that our decisions are truly an expression of God's will. There is often a vast difference between group conscience and group opinion, as dictated by powerful personalities or popularity. Some of our most painful growing experiences have come as a result of decisions made in the name of group conscience. True spiritual principles are never in conflict. They complement each other. The spiritual conscience of a group will never contradict any of our traditions. And when I feel it contradicting it, then I got to look in my gut and ask myself, who the fuck put me in charge? And it's back to an inside job. If I don't continue to work on me, there is no way in hell I can follow these traditions. And if you watch people violate their traditions, you can take a look at their personal program. Because it's back to self-centered ego. You know, we all got to be a star somewhere, but I realized I'm a star when I walk into a meeting and I sit down, period. I'm one of the shining stars that have the ability to walk in that room. And only the God of my understanding and you people gave me that right because I had other plans. My plan was to die on the street and I didn't want nobody's help. And you people didn't care how I felt about it. You were going to help me anyway. And today I'm grateful for that. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I celebrated 10 years clean in Narcotics Anonymous. And I was scared to show up at my anniversary because I was afraid no one was going to show. But that's not self-centered. I was just wanting to share with a lot of people. You know, we're all important, and we all want to be important. And sometimes some of us take those to great extremes. Sometimes we want to do everything, and yet we're not doing anything for ourselves. And for me, I believe the most important thing I can do is do something for me. And then that shines. And if I don't do something for me and I'm trying to do something for you, there's a difference in spreading a message and carrying a disease. And for a long time, I spread the disease. I didn't carry no message. I carried Marty's Will Run Riot, and I'd trample on anything and everything. I would vote against everything in a group conscience if somebody looked at me wrong. I'd vote against it. The hell with that. God damn it. You stupid son of bitches don't know what you're voting for. Now I show up at an area service meeting and there's 40 GSRs and all of them got 3 weeks clean. And they're voting for everything. I'll go for that. What the hell? $6,000? Yeah, we'll spend it. Let's go for it. And that's when you really got to take a look at your personal program and your serenity and your God-given grace and dignity and say, wait a minute. Before you start throwing your hands up, think about what you're voting for. There is nothing worse for Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, and this goes back to the first tradition, is people voting in a group conscience just because somebody else did. I know that my sponsor used to sit beside me when I became GSR. Vote for that, don't vote for that, vote for that, don't vote for that. Finally, I learned the spiritual concept. Fuck off. I'll vote what my God tells me to. You know, there aren't any dictators in this program because all the dictatee has to do is say fuck off. And the dictatorship is over with. This program works when I step out of the way and become of maximum service, not maximum in charge. And that's the only way it'll work. Because what happens, I start working myself out of groups, I start working myself out of areas, and then I start working myself out of states. I've done that. It's my personal experience. People don't like the way I'm doing things, I'll go to another area and change it then, damn it. It says that those of us who have been involved in service or entering into a group sometimes have a hard time letting go. Egos and unfounded pride and self-will will destroy a group if given authority. We must instead remember that offices have been placed in trust, that they are trusted servants, and that at no time do any of us govern Narcotics Anonymous's God-given program, and we can maintain our group in dignity only with group conscience and God's love. And I'll turn it over to my panel. Thank you.
And my name is Greg. I'm an addict.
Hi, Greg.
Actually, I've been thinking very seriously about identifying as my name's Greg and I have addiction.
Yeah.
But that's the first time I've done it. We could probably talk about this second tradition for 2 years. I know we have been. Before we get into it a little bit, a thing popped into my head. Someone was talking earlier about working the traditions, and it's something I want to comment on because I run into some problems there. The only requirement for membership in my marriage is not a desire to stop using. My three-year-old isn't support her part of the family. Little things like that. I work for someone. There's a president of the corporation, and in that corporation, he's an ultimate authority. There are a lot of things in my life outside of this group setting, outside of my fellowship setting, that the traditions don't fit real well in. And I tried to work the traditions the same way I worked the steps, but that didn't work out real good. You know, I think that thing we read before the traditions at most of our meetings is real important. These are for our groups. These are for us when we get together. Second tradition, there are a lot of questions. It's probably the hot issue in the fellowship today. From what I see, I mean, there's a questionnaire out in the just to determine what group conscience is and where it exists. I think one of the fundamental problems I see going on is that we're giving mixed messages to our trusted servants. On one hand, we're saying don't govern. And on the other hand, we're saying, do it for us. Do it. We want you to do this. We elected you to do this, to make decisions, to govern, to to go ahead and do it. We don't have time. I mean, I've got a job and I'm going to meetings and, you take care of that shit. I don't want to hear about it. That's a mixed message to me. That's saying, don't govern, and it's saying, make the decisions, do it. I don't have time. Perhaps one of the weakest areas of all our services is group service. Welcoming the newcomer. Maybe that's one of the things we need to really work on. This goes into so many things. I think sometimes every once in a while I think that maybe we get real upset about the second tradition and forget the question about how bad can you fuck with spiritual principles. I mean, ultimately, this loving God that expresses himself in all of us is going to take care of business. I mean, either God is taking care of business or he isn't. And my life is dedicated to the proposition that God is. A couple of the other things that came to mind, as a trusted servant, what does one look like? There are lots of concepts tied in that. There's the concept of trust, which is kind of a nebulous thing. We got a lot of servants that aren't trusted. There's the idea of the servant. The servant, the person that stands in the background, doesn't say anything, doesn't have any ideas or opinions, just fulfills the tasks. But we won't let them do that. There are just all kinds of things. Is a vote equal to a group conscience? How about the vote that said, no, we won't let anybody come to this meeting who is in treatment? I've seen a group do that. Is that a spiritual, loving God expressing himself? I don't think so. We've made a lot of decisions in the name of group conscience that I don't see much God in. And I think there's a whole vast area of things that are going to come up with our decision-making process about how does a loving God really express himself. I can feel when group conscience is working more than I can count when group conscience is working. To me, group conscience always exists. If we're in touch with our higher power, if we have a contact going, if we've turned our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand it. But what happens if you have a room full of people who don't read any of the steps that say God? There's been a group like that. There is no second or third step in their reading. Do they have a group conscience? Is a loving God expressing themselves through them? Questions, questions, questions. I think we have more questions about this tradition than we have answers. Again, a point of unity. Our lives are based on, if we're working the steps, dependence on a power greater than ourselves. And developing a relationship with that power. If we let that come through us, then perhaps a loving God can express himself. One of the neatest things I've seen that some areas and regions do is have a moment of silence before they count heads. A moment to get in touch with that. I think that we're just learning about this. That we're just learning about spiritual principles. That we're just learning about how we relate to each other. We're just learning about all of our traditions, actually. As soon as I think I've got all the answers, I find out I'm dead wrong. you know. And let's hope we continue to learn. That's all I'm going to say right now. Thank you.